Now we come to a chapter that's quite a letdown after the last chapter, and yet has a tremendous message here for us. We saw that this man, Hezekiah, was the best king after David. None to compare to him. He is more like David than any other. And he's like David in some other ways. David didn't do so well as a father, and neither did Hezekiah. His son is the worst king that ever reigned over the southern kingdom. He's bad, friends. He's a real bad man. And we are given his story here, beginning with chapter 21. And it's actually a heartbreak when you read about the son of Hezekiah turning out as he did. I personally believe this. Now, I cannot confirm this. This is my own speculation and my own private opinion. And someone says that you're pretty dogmatic about some of your opinions, and I think that's true. If I thought it was another way, I'd be dogmatic about the other way, but I'm dogmatic about this way. I believe that the Shekinah glory, which Ezekiel was given the vision, left during the reign of Manasseh. Now, the Shekinah glory apparently was here at this time. And if the Shekinah glory didn't leave during the reign of Manasseh, I can't see anything that ever happened afterward that would cause the visible presence of God to leave. And during apparently the reign of this man, the Shekinah presence of God left this temple, and it was a desolate temple, just as our Lord said in his day, that your house is left unto you. Absolutely, it's a desolate place. It's forsaken of God. And I believe that happened during this time. Now, this fellow's a rascal. Let's look at him. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Now, I pause to say this. God gave him ample opportunity, you see. He started in as just a 12-year-old boy. And it wasn't long. He was a teenager and in his early 20s. And somebody says he's young. He'll outgrow it. He didn't outgrow it. He got worse and worse and worse. But God gave him ample opportunity. You see, God is always patient, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Now notice here, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And Hephzibah is the mother, but Hezekiah is the father. But the mother's name is always given. She will have to accept responsibility. She'll get the credit also. The name of Hezekiah's mother was given. Wonderful mother, apparently. Well, I don't know what Hephzibah did, but this boy is a rascal. Verse 2. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, he's as bad as any of the pagan that had been in that land when God put them out and put his people there. Well, he's not going to be there very long. That is, his people are not. They're going to have to leave. Verse 3, notice what he did. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. In other words, Hezekiah got rid of all of this, and I think it was a partial revival that took place during the reign of this man, Hezekiah. But now all of that comes to naught because he reared up altars for Baal. He made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. Now you don't have many worse than Ahab, king of Israel, and he's compared now to him. And he worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. That means he worshiped the sun, moon, stars, and all of the hosts of heaven. Many of them, as you know, have names that pertain to the Greek gods. There was Apollo, there was Diana, and there were the others, by the way. So that he worshiped the host of heaven. Somebody says, my, we've come a long ways. No, we haven't. You can go in the 5 and 10 cent store today and you can get you a little packet there, and it'll tell you what you're born and under, and tell you all about yourself. There are a lot of people worshiping the host of heaven today. Verse 4, and he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. Now, he defied Almighty God. He put altars in the very city. God says, here's where I set my name, and I don't want any other of the heathen temples here. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, so that he actually not only put altars in the city, put them right in the temple itself. Verse 6, he made his son pass through the fire. That was actually human sacrifice in that day, although it was to heat an image red hot and put a child, a baby, in it. And he either did that or else the child was offered to the heathen god without putting him in the red hot idol. And he observed times. He used enchantments, and he dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. This is satanic. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I have given their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. They're getting ready to travel. They don't know it, but they are getting ready to travel. They're going into Babylonian captivity. Because God says, I'll put you in that land, you'll not move anymore, provided you obey me. Will you notice verse 9? But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Now, not only was he as bad as the heathen, he was worse than the heathen. And I have news for him. They'll be leaving that land. God will not let them stay in that land. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, he hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing much evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the lion of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. Just as God had judged both Ahab and Israel, God now is going to judge Jerusalem and Judah. Now listen to this. God says, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. God says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do some dishwashing. I'm going to take them. They're in my land. They're in my dish. God says, I'm going to wipe them right out of that land. Did you ever stop to think, whoever you are listening today, you may think that you're very clever, very sophisticated, and you don't need God. You're walking on his earth. It's his earth. You're breathing his air, by the way, and you're using his sunshine, and you're drinking his water, and he gave you the body that you got. May I say to you, God says that every now and then I wash my dishes. When I do, I just wipe them out of the land. The nations down through the centuries lie along a highway of time, and they're in rubble and ruin. You know why? They did the same thing that we are doing today, living without God. We don't need him. God says, I'll wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish. And that's something very unusual. It looks to me like husbands dried the dishes in that day when the wives... But I don't want to start anything. I can assure you that, and I hope my wife's not listening. Now let me drop down. God says, I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance. So I'll deliver them into the hand of their enemies. They shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. God says, I'm going to take my thumb or my finger out of the dike. The enemy's going to come in like a flood. Verse 16, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. You see, when a man goes into sin or a nation, they don't sin in just one respect. They sin in many respects. Now, we have not only forgotten God today, we've become an immoral nation. There's lawlessness. There's murder. Why, there are companies that are moving out of some of the great metropolis across this nation today to try to get away from the lawlessness. Well, you can't get away from it until this nation returns to God. That's the first step. Oh, you can have law and order, and I get so provoked today with some of these folk. They will turn the spotlight on communism. Well, why don't you turn the spotlight on God and say that's what we need today? We're offering nothing but a negative proposition. Let's get rid of communism. Let's get rid of lawlessness. How are you going to get rid of it, friend? You can't get rid of it. You have to turn to God. Now, this man is guilty of murder. And besides his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, and doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now we're told, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers, buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of his, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Now, this is the story of this man. Not much to say other than he was evil and he was corrupt. Verse 19, Amon was 20 and 2 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Haraz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. He's a bad one too. And so we don't have much about him. Verse 23, the servants of Amon conspired against him, slew the king in his own house. People of the land slew all them that conspired against King Amon. Revolution, you see. That's what all of this leads to, is revolution. We're today, as a nation, on the road to revolution. And it's unfortunate, but our leaders seem to be interested in only one thing, and that is to get elected. And it seems like some are actually willing to sell their own country in order to do that. We're living in dangerous days, friends. Now we're told this man, he was buried in the sepulchre in the garden of Uzzah also, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead.